I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey everyone, I am Rachel Goodman, and we're here to talk about the great episode one of the same name. With me is Empress Tori. You can catch her in a previous life as royalty or as an Olympian. And yeah, so we've got Tori with us today.
Hey guys, yes, I've had a lot of previous past lives, but in one of them I was definitely a queen, princess, empress myself, so I definitely relate to this show because I feel like I've lived it already.
That's amazing. And we've also got red-tongued Cody joining the panel. Red, because he just devoured this episode. Cody, yes. Welcome to the panel.
Yes, devoured this episode. Devoured some sour cherry candies as well. And yeah, I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, me too. This is really exciting for me. I was on the AfterBuzz Catherine the Great panel when it when we were covering the HBO show Catherine the Great. Now, this is just a commentary up front. I've done a lot of research on what this show is supposed to be. Historical, it is not. this is meant to be a satirical take on Catherine the Great. But that being said, I was a history major, so I will kind of interject with certain things as we are going along here, but let's just dive right in. We'll have a news segment at the end, but for now, let's dive in and let's just talk about this opening sequence we had with Catherine on the swing. Tori, what did you think of Catherine getting this first glimpse of her, the way that they showed us?
It was so, honestly, like from that initial scene, I was like, I love everything about this. Like, I love the costumes, I love the cinematography, I love the every other design. It was just so nice to watch, and for that to be our first impression, I was like, okay, they've put some effort into this. But the I guess dialogue, but even though it was more so like a monologue because her friend was barely talking, that we have of Catherine was just so green. Like, it just kind of resonates with every like young girl and what she thinks love is gonna be, and I was just like, this is not gonna end well. But it was nice to see her dream, because I mean, like, I don't want to say we all, but like some of us have had that sort of like fairy tale, romantic, I don't know, way of thinking that when we don't have any other experience, all you have to do is imagine. So it was just nice to just kind of hear her imagine out loud and not even let her friend's negativity really affect her. Like, she was like, this is my fairy tale, and until something happens to change that, this is what I'm going to believe. And I loved it.
Yeah, it was amazing that, I mean, they really showed us Elle Fanning's version of Catherine. Like, right up at the top, we knew who this was, we knew what she was about, and we knew what her goals were, especially once we saw her interact with Peter. Cody, what was your take at the top of this? What did you think about Catherine?
She's super cute. It was very, like, it was so funny to see, like, they put her in this light of, she is this young girl who has these bright, big dreams of making a difference in the world, and even it, but then it's like there's also this naivete to her, and she's on this swing, and there's flowers on the swing, and it's just very like she's still this little girl. And then she quickly, I mean, going past the scene, she quickly has a very rude awakening to this romanticized future for herself that she has. And I think it's a good, I just think it was really great the way they gave us who she is at the beginning of this series. And we're going to see that, I mean, she says later on that, like, oh, that girl's dead, but we are going to see this girl become a great woman, I believe.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I want to say that what was very fascinating to me is that Elle Fanning, her accent, and the way that she chose to speak as Catherine, if you listen to Helen Mirren playing the role of Catherine in the HBO series, they sound so similar that it was almost like, to me, I was so intrigued by this. I was like, wow, the fact that they are using the same exact type of like intonation and the way that they're speaking. Just like with Catherine the Great, the HBO show, we got to see Catherine at an older stage. And so this was a very fresh take for me to see, you know, even though it's not quite historically accurate, to see to see a representation of her as a young girl, and to specifically see something that is true, which is how much education meant to Catherine the Great, especially her own education and the fact that she could read. And we would hear her quote Diderot and just various different, you know, German, French, and Russian thinkers throughout this time period, throughout this episode. I was very, very interested to see what we were going to get. And it almost, to me, the fact that this is a little bit of a fictional telling, it opens it up so that there are more possibilities. I feel like they can break what actually happened. And so it has me more on suspense. Like I'm waiting more, wondering what's going to happen, since it's, you know, a little bit, I mean, generally speaking, Catherine did go and was married to Peter the Third, who's the Peter that we meet. But I think what I do appreciate is what this piece is trying to say about contemporary society and about our governments and about the head of state. And so we get this meeting between Catherine and Peter. And right off the bat, Tori, what was your impression of Peter?
Now, I was really trying to come in with an open mind. Just, you know, this is a fresh show, so I wanted to have a fresh take. Now, you can already tell that he was just very disconnected from everything that happened prior to this arrangement. I mean, he didn't do anything, basically, but asked her to show up or just allowed somebody to pick her out and get her to come there. And I was just kind of like, you're not even going to pretend like you know what's going on, like the letter, even what she looks like. I was just like, geez, there's like minimal effort, if any, here. But honestly, my first impression wasn't terrible. I didn't start to strongly dislike him until the rest of the episode continued. But in the first impression, it just kind of seemed like he was immature and kind of not attached to what was going on. It just felt like a business deal. And that didn't really rub me the wrong way, because we do know timepieces on this panel, and we know that how these arrangements happen. It's not just you fall in love when you get married. It's mainly a business deal, a treaty. There's something that comes with it. So I wasn't really expecting him to be, you know, like head over heels in love. So that didn't really rub me the wrong way. But like I said, towards the end of the episode, I was like, okay, no, you're not my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, Tori, I was looking at this from, I was trying to like let go of what I know happens and just kind of see Peter with fresh eyes. And so I was giving him a chance to, even though I know historically Peter was not the greatest of people, but I was trying to give him a chance at first when he saw her and she gave him the evergreen branch, which obviously evergreen content, like the idea that their love would be evergreen. Catherine went into this very hopeful. But what I was really, I was trying to view Peter as just a jokester and a guy who maybe isn't on the same wavelength as Catherine, but that could grow to actually love her. And I really enjoyed watching her try. And at first, I think he might have been trying to, even though his ways were very, you know, unkempt and just very, like, even in the beginning, I'm not talking about the later things yet, but even in the beginning, his ways did seem a little bit outlandish. And the bear, when he gave her that as a gift, and then later we saw that Catherine went and she knew what was to be expected of her that night. I was really wondering symbolically what was going to happen to the bear. Cody, what did you think of one, meeting Peter, but then actually everything leading up to their wedding and that night?
Peter is a D-bag.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Yes.
And I feel like, I mean, and when he joked around, he was like, oh, send her back. And I was like, you can't actually be sending her back. Like, the show's about, like, the two of them. And so then and he turned around and that was, like, his shtick. Like, oh, that was my joke. Haha, did you see what I do? It's like, oh, you just want everybody to love you and think you're funny. And it's so interesting with him because it's like, we can see, I feel like he has some redeeming quality that we'll eventually see, but it was just like, oh, this poor girl was so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to have this next big adventure where she was going to make this difference in Russia, and she's just like considered to be one of his servants, but she just has a big title. And I mean, I don't really care for him, but that does say a lot to him as an actor. actor, which is always really, when you dislike a character so much, you know that they're doing a good job portraying it. So I'll give him that.
Yeah. So Nick Holt, he was in Current War. Mm-hmm. He was in some of the X-Men movies. Just very all around, his acting. I agree with you, Cody. I feel like he can play anything. A guy who's really good at heart. And then we also have Peter. And I really tried every time he said huzzah, it just kept getting funnier to me. So if he was trying to be a comedian, eventually it worked, but probably not because I was laughing at his jokes, rather laughing at him. But I think with Peter, what really turned, I was trying to give him a chance up until the point where he won, they have sex and he's literally not even the way that we see royals, sometimes, historically they would just have sex with their wife just to produce an heir. I understand that's the way it was, but to see someone go in, have sex with his wife and not even talk to her, talk about ducks as he's just literally having sex with his wife to make sure that his seed somehow gets in there. I was like, okay, this is where it started to change for me that he did that to her. But then the big thing was when Catherine, she's really trying, Marielle, who we're going to talk about in a second, but Marielle helps her and she goes to Peter and he's already in bed with another woman. I just, at that point, I think that he was not, there was nothing redeemable about him anymore when that's where it went. Tori, what do you think?
Yeah, the same. It just, I felt so bad for Catherine because it just felt like she was trying so hard, and just not comparing it to other portrayals of Catherine, but just other royal TV shows. It's kind of like, first of all, I feel like in other shows, at least the night of the wedding is the one where the husband tries to pay attention because it's this big thing. So, I can't think of the word, that the official word, but to official, to make the wedding official. And yeah. So it was, usually it might be some other people around, but it's still a big deal. And the two are kind of left by themselves to seal the deal, if you will. So it was weird to see that he didn't even like you said, he didn't even miss a beat in the conversation. He just kept talking while he barely even looked at her. And so I was like, okay, I was kind of expecting this from the second, maybe third night, but not the first one. And then when she took that experience and tried to learn from it, I felt bad watching her try to apply, not corrections, but kind of approach the situation differently. And then she was met with something that was completely unideal. And like I said, even though none of us are naive to those things happening, it was still kind of like, Peter, why are you doing that? So this show is a little hard because like I said, we have all seen shows like this. We've seen shows about this story, about other royal stories. And so it's hard to try to be I don't want any of this to happen, and just kind of think naively about it. But at the same time, I was still like, Peter, could you try for at least the first episode, the first 50 minutes?
Yeah. And so they, like you said, Tori, they consummated the marriage. And then from there, it just kind of started going downhill for Catherine. And let's talk a little bit about Marielle, and let's also talk about the women at the court, because we get this mm-hmm. scene. We don't really know much about Marielle at first, and then eventually we learn that she had been a royal member, not royal per se, but she had been a lady, and mm-hmm. that she had been a member of the court, and that there was a situation with her family where she was demoted, if you will, and ended up working as a maid for Catherine. So I love the fact that Catherine doesn't care that this is the circumstance, that Catherine still sees Marielle as a lady, but we know that all of the other women in court, they're just terrible people. They don't care about Marielle. They don't care about reading. All they want to do is gossip and talk about the hats, which they are not wearing correctly. Cody, we were talking before this, and I know you said you were very into fashion. What did you make of this scene, specifically with the hats?
The hats was a funny scene, and then I love Catherine. She's like, oh, I never even thought about hats. But then it's like, they're not, a lot of, where am I crossing times here, like they're wearing all their wigs incorrectly, right? Or am I going out in my head of myself?
No, you're fine. Yeah. Just, we can. Okay. Yeah, we can.
And it was just like, yeah. And it was just, and they're just like, oh, like, they're doing this in France, and she's like, uh huh, yeah, sure. And it was just the ladies are they're just awful wolves, and poor Catherine is like, and the thing is, it's they're not trying to like get anything negative from Catherine. The one girl's like, oh, I'm gonna be your most trusted confidant. They want to be her friend, and they're all very nice to her. But Catherine's like, no, like this is not the crowd I'm trying to get involved in. And then when they're like, they're throwing the ball into the grass, and she's like, oh, what happens next? They bring it back to us, and we do it again. How long do we do this? All afternoon. I was like, even me, I was like, man, like, maybe like you're just sitting there drinking champagne. Your job is to look pretty all day and throw the ball. Like, maybe I can get on board with that just like a couple days a week, but like, no, that sounds so dreadful. Like,
Yeah.
And the oh, sorry, go ahead, Tori.
It was okay. I just felt bad because, like, from the outside looking in, of course, none of us are like them, and we wouldn't necessarily choose that crowd to be a part of. But the only part that I felt bad about is, like, this is all that they know. Like, all they know is how to do this. This is what they were basically raised to do. They don't know how to read. They don't know how to write. They were raised to be ladies. So it's kind of like, I feel bad because you can tell they're not necessarily doing it on purpose or like trying to be the mean girls or anything like that. It's just kind of like nobody has told them this is wrong or this is not what they're supposed to do. They've been conditioned to think that this is my role. I'm supposed to sit here in this room, talk amongst the ladies, throw balls in the grass, and I go home and I come back and I do it again. That's all that they know. And so I felt kind of bad, and I didn't want to judge them because it's like they – in their opinion, they're not wrong. And technically in their society, they're not wrong either. You know, so it's kind of like, if you think that you're right, of course, you're not going to change the way that you are.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think though, going off of that, it's hard to say because obviously Marielle has experienced what it's like to go from, you know, kind of relatively up at the top of the echelon of society to downward to the bottom. And so I feel like an experience like that will humble you, but also there were definitely some women of the court who were going above and beyond with the pettiness. And so I think that definitely that extreme, but I do think, like you said, these people are products of their society and products of being royal citizens under Peter the Third. And so let's kind of talk more about that. The fact that one of the things that was very interesting is the dynamic between Peter and the people and the men that follow him specifically. And so we had a scene where they all went hunting and Peter's trying to make some really terrible joke and Catherine doesn't get it. She's not laughing. And Peter keeps repeating himself until he goes, you know, to his men, and they know because it's Peter that they're supposed to laugh. And so everyone, it's this idea that everyone's scared of him, that they're only following what he wants because they're afraid of what will happen otherwise. And we do start to see this other side of Peter and what he's capable of with what Catherine wants to do with the school. And so let's talk about, before we get there, let's talk about Count Orlo. The man who we find out was behind writing the letters that Catherine thought she received from Peter. First of all, I ship them instantly because he was reading Rene Descartes in the library. And instantly I was like, okay, Catherine has actually met her match in this person. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm all here for that if it happens. Tori, what do you think about this part of the episode with Catherine in the library with Orlo and also, yeah.
So, okay, really fast. When he first said his name, y'all, why did I think he said Count Olaf? Like, from
yes, I heard that too.
I was like, how the hell he get in here? I was like, oh, this really about to spice things up. If you've ever seen that, you know that is not somebody you want to be trapped in the library with. So I was like, wait. And then I quickly realized that's not what he said. So once I realized he was just, you know, somebody actually in the show that belongs there, I was like, okay, like you said, I feel like she's kind of finding her people. Like Catherine is finding people who she feels like she relates to, some people that she feels like she might share the same ideologies with, which was great, because honestly, in this whole castle, she probably only found two, which was her maid and this guy. And so I was like, okay, like that kind of makes the situation and the circumstances a little bit more bearable. And I wasn't sure if they were going to, like, you know, I didn't think anything romantically of it, but I was thinking, okay, like he'll kind of feel empowered to voice his own opinions about literature and education and stuff like that, and actually find someone higher up that can support whatever he wants to do. And she'll be able to use him to, at this time, to do her, to build her school, find teachers and things like that. So I kind of just felt like they shared this connection, and they were both lonely in this castle, and they finally found somebody who relates. And I was like, oh, I love that. Don't we just love when somebody finds their tribe? Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we meet Orlo. We find out that she's, yeah, Catherine gets this idea to build the school. She's specifically thinking she wants to teach women how to read. And now, so here's the part where if you could have redeemed him before, I think this is the part where most people realized he was not going to be a redeemable character. The moment where he's talking to his war council, and we have Velimitov there, which is interesting because he's just over the top, kind of like being super doting with Catherine, this guy. Like in a really comical way. But in any case, they're talking about the battle that they have just lost. And Orlo accidentally reveals that it's like he's trying to be forward thinking and just, you know, opening his mouth about what they're doing and how excited he is. He accidentally reveals too much information about women learning to read. And then all of a sudden in the next scene, we've got the burning down of the school, which to me was the saddest thing that we could have possibly seen. Cody, what do you think of that moment?
That moment broke my heart, because literally for the first however long the episode was at that point, I was like, you know what, like this obviously isn't the ideal situation, but you know what, Catherine's getting her school, like he's at least letting her do what she wants, like it's at least was happy enough in this crazy world that she was put into. And then to have him go from being like, oh, yeah, I want to make her happy, to, oh, no, that's not what you said, and burn down the school. That's, like, literally my, like, I was here with the show, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, that, it was so mad about it, which obviously I think we're supposed to be upset about it, but it, I almost, like, took it personally. I was like, he's just such a spoiled brat, and, like, it's a visible in every aspect of any scene he's in, and it killed me, really.
Yeah, and I think the saddest part is that the way that Peter is, he is very dangerous, because you think that he could be reasonable at times, but this is the moment where you learn that he is not reasonable. That he demands people do exactly what he wants, or he will take care of you in, you know, the worst way possible. And so for me, I think it was even more like the spurning of the school was terrible, but then Catherine standing her ground and going up and confronting Peter, and him basically trying to, like, you know, he didn't even care. Like, it didn't matter to him. He's ruthless. He just did not care how this made her feel. And she tries really hard, even at this point, like, even though the one thing that the one thing that was allowing her to feel at home in this place, he destroyed, and she still tried. And he, I guess, pretended he would try for her. And, you know, I found it interesting, too, that his dog is named Zeus. And so this is not this is not a guy, like, this is the man who wants to take power. And he is not going to listen to anyone, especially his wife. And he makes it very clear that she is there to serve him, and not the other way around. And so I could just feel the anger boiling in Catherine, and I could feel her getting to a place where she wasn't going to try to bend to his needs anymore. We also get a scene with the Archbishop, who is you know, primary antagonist in this. He's working with Peter. I found that scene interesting though, where Peter tells Archie to go and basically convince Catherine to be better because she's broken. Tori, what did you think of that scene?
I mean, you're so stupid. Men, I don't want to say men, but men in this show in this time period were most likely stupid. And so it was just kind of like, sorry. I was upset with his action. But it was just kind of like, is she broken? Is she really broken because she thinks for herself? Like, is that really? And the thing, honestly, let's really get into it, because what did she really do to him? Nothing. She hasn't done anything. She hasn't, if she did, she would have been warranted. And she hasn't done anything to really disrespect him besides, you know, slap him in front of company. But that was because she was kind of pushed to those points. And so it was just frustrating for him to find every single problem with her when she actually hasn't really done anything to even question his authority, if we're being honest. Like, she asked for the school, and even though she didn't give like all the information, she didn't think that she had to, and she hasn't really done anything to warrant any type of disrespect. So it was just annoying. And then it was just like, sir, are you going to fix yourself? Even though we know the answer is no, but if I was there, I would be like, I'm looking in the mirror, you need to check yourself before you try to check me. But
I agree with you. Let's just, for the sake of time, I'm going to move it along a little bit toward the end. So we get all this, we get the penultimate moment of this episode, which is with basically the Baron Chains at the party. And literally, like, this, if we had one thing, if Catherine was holding on to her marriage, this was literally the moment when everything came crashing down, because this bear that symbolized love for Catherine in her dreams, Peter legitimately shoots the bear as she is talking, like as she's petting him. And yeah, so to me, it was like, if the marriage was going to somehow survive all of this, it was done. Cody, what did you think of that scene and subsequently Catherine's decision to run away?
This was another painful moment to watch, because as we know, like, even before she goes to Russia, she's talking to her friend at the very beginning. She's like, oh, they have bears there. Like, I think I'm going to get one. And then she had this romanticized idea of like what a bear meant and all these things. And then she got a bear and we were like, oh, she got like something she wanted. Mm-hmm. Great. And already she didn't want to go to that party. She's at that party and she's just so miserable. She's so fed up with everyone. She calls the ladies out for wearing their wigs wrong. She's like, you all look like fools. And then there's nothing that's going to appease her. And then our friend was like, oh, let's go for a walk in the garden. And she was like, yes, that sounds great. As she's petting this bear, and he shoots it. Freaking Peter shoots it. And it's like, one, like, how is that even acceptable behavior? Ever to just like, I guess, have a bear in the party and then be like, oh, it's just a prop, bam. And it's like, we, like I said, like she had this very romanticized idea of what this bear meant. And so, I mean, I was so glad she walked up and smacked him, because in that moment he needed it. And it was such, I don't know if she meant for it to be, but it was definitely a power move. Like, I audibly was like, yes, like, thank mm-hmm. you. And then she walked off, and then I'm glad he followed her. But then the scene after that didn't go so well. But I think it was definitely necessary. And
let's keep in mind that like 5 seconds before shooting the bear, he had already accidentally shot somebody in the leg. Let's start there. So not only you think you had this great aim, but you already shot someone. And there was a strong chance that you could have shot me while you were trying to stroke your ego and shoot this bear. So that, we already have a problem, because aside from everything else, you almost put my life in danger. So now we have a big problem, because you thought you were gonna shoot me dead in here. Don't do that. Like, you can play with your own life, but don't play with mine.
I agree, like
you said, the bear was already kind of like, she got something that she wanted, and in the same episode it was taken away. But then you can't just be shooting guns in the party. That bear was like a foot away from her. So that was like my first thing, because it was just kind of like, I didn't even know if he meant to shoot the bear. I thought it might have been like I don't want to say like a stray bullet, but he was just shooting around, and I was like, what if he accidentally hit her? Like,
which he very well could have.
So I was just kind of like, I'm like you said, Rachel, if there was any chance that the viewers would just kind of like be like, okay, we'll give Peter a chance, all of that was gone in this scene.
Yeah.
Like all of it.
All of it. And then the worst part is when she runs away and the fact that Peter takes her, she doesn't even know what's happening. She's in the trunk. Literally,
oh my
God. Peter's command that they pretend to drown her. And I knew it was a game to him. Like, that's just the way that he is.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that he was not doing this to actually kill her. He was doing it because she's a toy to him. And the fact that he mm-hmm. could say, he could, you know, basically reassert his dominance over her, it was terrifying to watch. And then we get that final scene where she's literally, she's at such a low point that she is mm-hmm. considering taking her own life. And Marielle, on the one hand, like if I was in that situation, I would not want a friend to talk to me like that, like, oh, get the bucket. But I do like that Marielle is the one to tell her, hey, P.S., if you have no heirs and Peter dies, you will become the empress. That is how it works in Russia. And spoiler alert, in real history, Catherine the Great did become the empress after Peter the Third died. So I love the fact that that's where they're going. I'm just going to say that historically speaking, there have been takes on it that people suggest Catherine might have been the one to, you know, help with the passing. And that's certainly the way that Catherine the Great, the HBO series, portrayed it. But that is not necessarily what happened. So that being said, let's jump. We have a couple minutes left here. Let's jump to our special segments. Tori, mm-hmm. you have some news for us, right?
Yes, just a little like small tidbit since this is the pilot. I think it'd be interesting for all of us to know that this is actually Elle Fanning's executive producing debut. So she was super excited about that, not just only acting as Catherine the Great in the project, but also being executive producer. And with a interview in Variety, she actually said that it was extremely nerve-wracking, but also exciting. So I thought that was cool because I didn't know that. I just knew that she played in it, and I had no idea that she had an executive producing role. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is really cool and very exciting. Okay, so let's get to our predictions. And I think we might have a clip, like a sound bite. Maybe not. I'll wait 2 seconds. If not, I'll just play. That was play. Okay, cool. All right, let's start with you, Cody. What are your predictions for the next episode?
For the next episode, I just think that Catherine's definitely going to be Peter's match for sure. I don't know how well it will go, but I do think that she's going to change him at least a little bit, because in that one scene, he's like, oh, you're the only person who doesn't just unconditionally love me. And I think that's going to play its toll on him. I also think, I don't know if it'll be I don't think it'll be the next episode, but I do think, what's her maid's name? Marielle. I do think Marielle is going to betray her at some point, because I do think, I love her. She's honestly, I think she's my favorite character, but I think eventually she's going to be like, yo, I used to have more title and pull around here. And if I can get back there, I will. And I think that's going to come around eventually.
And Tori, what are your predictions?
Yeah, I think right after this, like maybe in the next episode, we're going to see maybe her ensure that she's not going to have an heir, like just kind of think, especially because of satire, I think we're going to see like some funny way that she kind of like makes sure that there's no way she can have a kid, which might be weird because the I think the priest or the, I don't know, like spiritual advisor is going to try to get his way in there. Because all of these shows that have like I can't think of the word, but basically they're like religious advisor, whatever. They're always super creepy and just in your face. And I feel like he's definitely going to do something to try to like, I don't know, check her cervix every night or something like that. Whoa. And see if sperm is in there. But I think we're just going to see a funny way of her and Marielle just like think of a system to make sure that as long as Peter is alive, she doesn't have any babies.
Yeah, I definitely agree with both of you guys. I could see Marielle betraying her. I'm not sure that that will actually happen though. Some of my prediction is from what I know historically and also from the HBO show. Historically speaking, she does have a son. So what I'm thinking is that the show is going to stick with that and that she still will end up having a child. But for next episode, I think that we're going to see her try and mess with Peter in ways that he doesn't necessarily know that he's being messed with, because obviously Catherine is smarter than him and she'll be able to outwit him. So I think that's the angle she's going to take, and that it's going to be kind of like, we're going to maybe get some montage elements where she'll be messing around and like laughing at his expense because he's too dim-witted to understand what she's doing. And then I think that as, you know, yeah, I think that's what we're going to get next episode. I think she's going to try to not, she's going to basically try to avoid getting pregnant, but knowing what I know that she does get pregnant, I think that that's the most important thing to her is to just mess with Peter and cause him misery. So, all right. Well, that is our show for today. Tori, where can everybody find you?
Yes, you guys can find me on Twitter at Tori with two E's. Or on Instagram at Toxic Model. And then you can just click around our YouTube, probably see all of us on other panels. So, you know, just find something that tickles your fancy.
Awesome. And Cody, where can everybody find you?
I am on Twitter as Cody_Epp, though I'm not there very often. You can find me on Instagram as Cody Epp with two Y's, CodyYyEPP.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman. We are going to be coming up next again live at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to discuss episode 2, The Beard. Until then, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your night. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.